Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show that is dedicated to your sexuality and your happiness, because I believe that they go together. I don't think that you can be happy without having your sexuality, and I think that your sexuality makes you happy. So that's what we talk about every single week. And this time is no exception. Today, I'm going to be interviewing two women who write erotica, and they write a special kind of erotica. They write erotica that is based on ancient myths of Greek, Norse, and Celtic mythology, and they write about it in a kind of humorous way and an erotic way, and we're going to find out how they got into that, you know, like how they got the idea to do that. So let me introduce them. They are Sakara. She's an erotic author and a licensed energy practitioner who focuses on empowering the rise of the divine feminine and the divine masculine through the vehicle of sacred sex. Her books and the Myth Erotica series can be found on her site, Metaphysical Erotica. That's www.metaphysicalerotica.com. And her writing partner is Megan Hussey, and Megan is a feminist erotica author known for writing paranormal-based fantasy romances and for her work behind the scenes in the women's erotica industry. Many of her stories revolve around fantasy characters such as mermen and strong, real women heroines. What's mermen? Hi, Megan. What's mermen?
Well, it's male equivalent of a mermaid.
Uh-huh. Men who are like mermaids?
Yes. Sirens.
I'm like, what? Merman? What's merman? Anyway, Megan and Sakara have a new book out. I just want to say right now, and then we'll talk to them about this book and other things. Their new book is called Greek Mytherotica Legends of Royalty, and you can find it at Amazon.com. So welcome to the show, Megan and Sakara.
Oh, thank you.
So how did you, I don't know who to ask first, this is interesting, like I said in my intro that you write about Greek, Norse, and Celtic mythology. How did you get into that? How did you decide to do that? Or is it just something you dreamed about?
Well, this is Sakara. I can go ahead and
sure.
Share that. You know, my work as a practitioner and an Akashic record reader basically birthed this whole world of metaphysical erotica. And I did a lot of research in erotica and studied the psychology of how women and their minds related to sexuality behaved. And what I found was that there was a big need to really help transform how we relate to one another. And so that started the book, The Root, which is a different sort of an erotica fiction. As a matter of fact, all of our erotica fiction is very different in the sense that our goal is to really have a multi-sensorial experience. So instead of just reading it, you actually experience, you know, energetic activations, you experience your cellular DNA rewiring itself, you experience sacred geometrical images, tantric poses, all coming in with the vibration to shift your consciousness and your body to a higher level. And so in studying how to really do that, I discovered that at the heart of how women and men behave comes to our stories of our cultures. And so a lot of mythology that I've read in the past are very third person, very detached. You know, Zeus comes down to earth, he frolics, he impregnates girls, and that's it. He is that's it. And so what we're doing is we're actually affecting the psyche of these immortals by giving them self-reflection, allowing them to take part in the sacredness of sex, and being able to relate to one another in a much more humane, heart-centered way. And in doing that, I feel like we're kind of rewiring the holographic DNA of mankind by affecting our mythologies. So in doing that from a lower level going up, the Metaphysical Erotica series reaches the DNA from the top to the bottom. And the goal is to really meet in the hearts of the readers and experience that transformation. Does that answer your question?
Wow, that's some answer. And you know what? That's such a turn on. It's so exciting. Yeah, it's so exciting to hear that response and realize, yes, mythology does affect in a very powerful way a whole culture behaves.
Absolutely.
And your wanting to affect it through writing a new mythology is brilliant.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's interesting when you hear a lot in the world of metaphysics, holistic, and just even just recognizing the changes that are going on in the world. You know, the feminine rising has been prophesied for eons. And so this is an opportunity to be able to support that. And a lot of it came in meditation, asking, you know, the Divine Mother, how can I serve you? And when that question was answered with, oh, you're going to help to shift how people experience sex, I was just like, is there another option? I felt like, you know, endangered animals, not as hot, is it?
I just have to laugh. I remember my first spiritual teacher was Isabel Hickey, who was a very, very famous astrologer. And I didn't study astrology with her. I studied meditation with her. And she used to say that when she prayed to find out what she should become, mm-hmm. when she got the answer, she should be an astrologer. She came from a fundamentalist Christian background. And she said, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't possibly be an astrologer. So sometimes we're given a message and it's the least thing. I always tell people that my seventh grade guidance counselor did not say to my parents, you know, your daughter is going to grow up and become a tantra master, you know. But we have to take the role that we're given and go with it. And so it sounds like what you two are creating is amazing. And I want to do a film about your mythologies.
Yeah,
so
And also, I have to say that from my perspective, you know, I've been a published erotica writer since 2006. And the reason that I got into the business was because I wanted to present empowered heroines, you know, realistic heroines, and I wanted to have a portrayal of loving, you know, relationships. And I was getting very disturbed by some of the trends that I had seen lately, you know, in erotica, you know, with the submissive women and the hard, dominant men. And I thought that we were going back instead of coming forward. And so I felt that by joining this project that it was such a revelation. I felt like I was doing good work, you know, under the guidance of Sakara, that we could fill a void out there that really needs to be filled.
Yes, absolutely. I think you're talking about the big fad of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan, no.
Well, and see, this is where we kind of differ a little bit. We've had this situation with, we've had this discussion on other interviews about, you know, I'm actually in defense of 50 Shades of Grey, and I actually studied that work extensively. And what I saw was that E.L. James was actually utilizing metaphysical properties by discussing how she was bringing this main hero to the light. And I felt like that was actually pretty revolutionary, because that was kind of a theme that came around. Probably in terms of its true content, I've definitely got to say I've read much stronger, better plotted erotica.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, you know, I found Sylvia Day shortly after reading 50 Shades, and I read her Crossfire series, and her character development was really, really rich.
Excellent. Thanks for letting us know that. To me, it's literally a new field for me. It's funny because, too, I once interviewed a woman who, she won a contest. She submitted her first porn story, some contest, and she won, and then they made her story into a porn film. And I told her I hadn't watched porn. She was shocked. So I hadn't read that much erotica, even though I'm writing some. And now I'm excited to hear about what you're writing and even other authors to read. So it's great. I love what you're doing. Now, how did Megan, how did you meet Sakara? You said you were being tutelage.
Yes. Well, it was wonderful because I was just looking for positive projects. And I was getting offers through a writing website. Some of them were just excellent, you know, and I worked with some wonderful companies and publishers. But others were just wretched. I mean, wanting me to write, like, rape porn and dubious consent and just viscerally, you know, trash. And I came across Sakara's ad for writers. And I just really felt a wave of warmth come over me. And I felt like this was what I had been looking for. And it was just a magical experience. I answered the ad, and I found one of my best friends as well as a writing partner.
Beautiful. Now, you've written, you, Megan, have written for Playgirl, Good Vibrations, and Chick Media.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I dabbled a little bit in writing box covers. I actually wrote the box cover copy for, I think it was the second Playgirl DVD, Bedtime Stories. I've done blogs and erotic stories for Playgirl and Good Vibrations. So yeah, I really enjoy visual media as long as it's respectful to women.
Sure.
Yeah, as much of that as I can, you know, get into, it's fine.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for doing the work that you're doing. It's so important for us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, I'm going to ask you some of your most erotic stuff. I'm going to challenge you with sharing for us one or two of what you would consider to be your most erotic sequences in what you've written.
Okay.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I am interviewing Megan Hussey, who is a published erotica author and women's sex activist, and also Sakara, who is an erotic author and a licensed energy practitioner. And they are rewriting mythology for us so that our culture can move forward with new myths about the divine masculine and the divine feminine, which is a huge undertaking and one I'm very excited about. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush, and that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Wow, sex magic. Laurie Handler's sex magic.
The workshop is really, really amazing. And we were able to create and generate this intense energy in a space of safety and love and abundance. And the magic really happens when she is free to let go.
That's pretty cool.
That shouldn't be called sex magic. It should be called sex
miracle. That she's the strongest facilitator that I've had the experience with, and there was not a moment when I didn't feel safe or not supported. She was with us individually and as a group the entire time, so that allowed me to go deeper than I've ever had.
Where my lover got to come and orgasm over and over and over again. She was loud as anything, and she was like a wild animal, untamed and free.
It just will bring you into such deeper places within yourself so that you're able to share with your partner.
Sex magic, I'm still feeling it. It was beautiful.
What an amazing course, if I say so myself. But of course, you've just heard the testimonies. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on workshops, and find out more about sex magic. It's magical. So if you'd like to experience sex magic and really, really treat yourself, I invite you to experience the Sex Magic Vacation Retreat in Peru. Here's what you'll want to know. The dates are April 23rd to May 3rd, and the intensive is 7 days, followed by 3 days of touring sacred sites, including Machu Picchu. The cost is $2,200, and if you register now, you'll receive $200 off the registration price for this amazing retreat. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and click on workshops to get more information. Or write me, sexandhappiness@gmail.com for more information. Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and hopefully you caught that last segment where we were talking about how Sakara and Megan are rewriting the mythology by which we will develop our culture and live our lives. And it's a great undertaking. And they're doing it by rewriting ancient myths about Greek, Norse, and Celtic mythology, where gods and goddesses actually have heart rather than just come down and impregnate young women. Things like that. I'm very excited about it, and I'm very excited to have them on the show. So what I want to ask you is, what can you say about some of the erotic scenes, let's say, that you portray? Like, just give us a little tidbit, if you would.
Yes. You know, basically, with our stories, they are deeply romantic and sensual and emotional, and they have a lot of metaphysical accents. But they're also very hot. So, yeah, to me, one of my favorites was Aphrodite and Adonis. Well, Adonis in particular is just one of my favorites. So, would you like to hear a little excerpt of that?
Well, yes, I would. And I also want to ask you, when you say metaphysical, because I know what metaphysical is, but not everybody might know what metaphysical is. So when you say it's very romantic and also metaphysical, what does it mean? Does it mean that they burn herbs together, or they cast spells, or they, what is?
Yeah, it's a pretty multidimensional kind of experience. Like, for instance, like Eros, when Eros and Psyche get married, for instance, and he is getting ready to give her pleasure, his wings spread out. And as his wings spread out, we write about how there are these sacred geometrical shapes that come together. Initially, it starts as a star tetrahedron, and it changes shape into, say, like the flower of life here. And so, you know, just throwing those images out, even though somebody is not familiar with what that is, it actually puts that vibration out to affect their consciousness as they're reading that, oh, here's a shape. I don't know what that is, but my other parts of my psyche does. We also add not only the power of color, but also principles talking of how their energy opens, how their bodies react, and it activates certain sequences in their power centers or their chakras. Another thing of what we do that's really different with the Greek Mithraticas is, and all the Mithraticas, is that each of the stories are centralized around a particular theme. And so the theme could be understanding, it could be respect, it could be judgment. And so not only are we writing or rewriting the stories, the themes that encapsulate the story is what motivates these immortal psyches to behave the way they do. So they reach self-reflection.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed.
And also, we make use of a lot of symbolism with flowers and crystals. It's not just for, like, atmosphere, for a romantic setting. Everything has a significance. A specific flower, specific crystal, you know. Well, and so it's a pretty picture, but also you can really get into it to look at the meaning behind each symbol.
So two things I want to share with you are something we were talking about before the show. One is my film, Beyond Dinner. I have people go into a new mythology. I just wanted to share this with you. When I do this dinner, which it's really called the Gate dinner, and Gate in Sanskrit means beyond. So that's why we named the movie Beyond Dinner. I have people go into a meditation where they become gods and goddesses, and they take on the personas of the people that you're now mentioning.
Oh.
And I tell them that before they will have this dinner, they have to get into their highest respect and their highest form of god and goddess, and know that when they come back to each other seated around this table, that they can only see the divine in their partners as they switch partners and rotate around and share food with one another.
Nice.
So what takes place is like a dream sequence in a mythology.
Ooh, wonderful.
And the other thing I wanted to tell you was I teach something called sex magic. And in my sex magic course, I teach men to honor the body of the goddess through the woman that they're practicing the magic on.
Yeah.
And the women, and I tell them to make prayers and chants and songs on the woman's body. And then I tell the women to put their hands into various
mudras,
sacred geometry postures.
Yeah.
When the magic is happening to them, and then to send their orgasms out into the universe, to connect with all the orgasms of the crones and the goddesses that have ever lived. So it's, I don't know, I'm seeing a movie in this, y'all. That's what I just want to say.
Yeah. Well, you know,
there's a lot of power in the orgasm, too, that I feel like we utilize the power of the orgasm in our fiction to express that feeling, that higher consciousness, that it's not wasted in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, it's in that divine union where it's like the pure joy occurs because the masculine recognizes the feminine and unifies.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yes, and
so
also, really, throughout my career as an erotica writer, that's what I've always striven, even if I'm not writing about mythology. You know, all of my heroines, whether it's a contemporary or historical or whatever, she's the goddess. You know, she's treated like a goddess. She's treasured. She's treasured and loved and worshipped. That's what I've always striven for in my work.
You know, Lori, I wanted to share with you, because when you were discussing how you created this film, when The Root came out, I did a book release, and a part of the metaphysical erotica community is also putting meditations out into the world and holding different kinds of promotions and workshops to really affect people's participation and their psyche. And when we did this presentation, I led people through this meditation where we actually called in the immortal lover from all different traditions. So, you know, you're calling in the masculine Osiris, as you're calling in Isis, you're calling in Yeshua, as you're calling in Mary Magdalene, and they come and they meet right in each of these power centers. And so each of these immortals actually had a power center that was, quote, assigned to them. And so when they worked in that power center, when the energies came in there, it allowed the person's body to really expand into that energetic vibration of those deities and those beings. And let me tell you, after we got done, it looked like people were drunk. I was like, I don't think y'all should drive yet. maybe go outside and have a cigarette, you know, whatever, breathe, eat some chocolate.
Yeah, so you know, that's fun. I know in some of my personal experiences, like even going to like a male strip show or something, I mean, I don't drink at all, but there are times at the end of those shows when I act practically intoxicated. To me, sexuality, you know, and by being pampered and just being treated like a goddess is intoxicating. So people are like, okay, how many has she had? Like, what, you mean drinks? None.
Well, you're taking in all that energy, though. You're taking in all that love and admiration and pampering, what you said.
Yeah.
It nourishes the soul. So in that respect, you can get high from it.
Yeah.
On that note, I've got friends who are of this particular faith, and they were sharing with me this type of lower vibrational, like lower chakra energy. It's called the Bombajita energy, and it's that kind of like real raw sexual energy that wants like fulfillment. It wants, you know, to be satiated. And in a way, when you're working with root, second chakra, solar plexus stuff, it's really about power. And so where I feel that we really impact the feminine sexuality is when we really bring in the high energies of like Mother Mary and Isis and Kuan Yin. And when you bring that in, it tempers that Bombajita energy and allows it to be able to transform, so that women and the readers are really actually coming from a higher place of reading this stuff and experiencing it than simply just physical response.
Mm. I like it all, actually.
I do too.
I didn't know that was called Bombajita. That's an interesting term.
Term?
Yeah. Where does that come from? Is that Sanskrit?
I think it's a Brazilian term.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds close enough, but, you know, everything is related. So, well, Megan, you before said that you wanted to share a little bit of the story. Would you mind doing that?
Oh, sure. Yes, and if you like, I could give you the seduction scene from Adonis and Aphrodite's story, because, as you probably know, Aphrodite was married to Hephaestus, but she certainly continued on with her other lover, George, because, you know, she's a goddess of love. Give her a break. So when Adonis finds out that she's married, he penetrates her dreams, and he takes her back to the scene of her wedding, and he tries to seduce her at her own wedding at the altar.
Wow.
Yeah, 4 moons past the wedding of Aphrodite and Hephaestus, the goddess of beauty and love returned once again to the site of their sacred nuptials, though only in her dreams. She and her husband had ventured many times into the groves and mazes of the goddess's garden, a fragrant floral menagerie that graced the tip of Mount Olympus. This magic sanctuary was a lush emerald showplace, brimming with roses, the hue of sparkling rubies. Crepe myrtle blossoms that shone every hue of the rainbow, and a collection of stately trees that featured mighty oaks and statuesque hibiscus. Both a surefire trysting spot that took them far from the watching eyes of their ethereal and quite nosy contemporaries, and a place to converse and meditate at their leisure, the garden felt like a second home to the newly wedded couple. In her dream of this eve, however, the goddess revisited not only the site of her honored nuptials, but their occasion as well. Once again, she carried a bouquet of lush, dew-glistened roses, her free hand clutching the arm of her tall, muscular beau, and again she wore a red scarlet cloak that matched these divine flowers, covering as it did a floor-length outskirted ivory gown that was luminous, with its diamonds glittering from its ravishing lace-strewn handiwork. Well, it's a good thing I can still fit into this strangulating, mummifying garment. Even within the bounds of the surreal dreamscape, the goddess cast a self-conscious glance down her voluptuous, fully made form. I've enjoyed quite a bit of nectar and sweet cake since the day of my wedding. Tightening her hold on the brawny arm of her beloved, she turned to face the floral arc that oversaw their ceremony. She immediately recognized and basked in the vision of this ebullient landmark, a custom-made intertwining of the garden's loveliest offerings. What she failed to recognize was the man who now stood before this arch, one whose unbelievable beauty outshone even the ruby-red roses, crisp ivory orchids, and pearl-pink carnations that were joined and woven to form the special arch. His mane of long, luxurious golden hair glowed like a beacon in the light of the sun above. The man turned to reveal a flawless, chiseled face that outshone even hers, along with a pair of gleaming, cerulean blue eyes that could only belong to one person. "Adonis," she whispered, her heart pounding as she breathed the name of her longtime paramour. "Why have you come?" Her godly counterpart, the male embodiment of beauty and passion, answered her query with a white-toothed, cat-like smile that stole her breath. She gasped. That was all he wore. The Greek embodiment of masculine radiance stood naked in her garden, reminding her of the utter perfection of his taut, tight, muscular chest and the sleek, angled planes of his abdomen. His arms rippled with muscular perfection as it flexed and relaxed, betraying his nervousness. Without warning, he turned to grace her with the full vision of his sleek form, a stately vehicle that bore his proud carriage, large, broad shoulders, lean legs, and a long, hard shaft that seemed to salute her arrival. "Do you like what you see, my goddess?" Adonis's smooth, honey tones matched his physical presence. "Then by all means, come and get me." Aphrodite gaped. "Adonis, you have a lot of nerve to assume so much." This time she said his name in a disbelieving tone, shaking her own golden-haired head slowly from side to side. "I well know that you pride yourself on your brazen and impulsive nature, but would you really go so far as to seduce a woman at her own wedding?" The sound of his soft, melodic laughter sent chills down fine. "Indeed I would, Aphrodite," Adonis nodded, pricking an alluring finger in her direction. "I knew that the only way that I could halt the charade of a ceremony was by seducing some sense into you." Aphrodite gaped with incredulity. Disbelief. "How dare you insult my husband and me in such a foul, vile manner?" She pointed an accusing finger in the face of her most unwelcome guest. A spark of pink light radiated out of it, warning him. Taking hold of the delicate hand that threatened to condemn him, Adonis drew its extended finger between his thick, moist lips and suckled it with sensual precision, all the while searing her with a sultry gaze of seduction. "I must say, my beautiful temptress, you appear far more aroused than insulted," he whispered. "And just imagine the many exciting and exhilarating ways in which I could satisfy that hunger. Just think of all the ways I could pleasure my goddess."
Thank you so much for reading that beautiful passage.
Oh, thank you.
And was that passage from your latest book, Greek Myths Erotica, Legends of Royalty?
Yeah, you can find it in both volumes of our Greek Myths Erotica. You can find lots of stories about gods and goddesses like Zeus and Hera and Athena and Apollo and Daphne and all the legends.
Sounds wonderful, and it was very exciting. It was really exciting to hear.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you both so very much for being my guests today on Sex and Happiness.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to give people your website. So, Sakara, your website is metaphysicalerotica.com.
Correct. We're also on Facebook, too, at metaphysicalerotica.com.
Okay, so that's how to find both of you.
To find me on Facebook. And
okay.
Megan is available also in her own site.
Megan, what is that site?
Yes, it's Golden Muse. M-U-S-E, one word, .tripod.com.
goldenmuse.tripod.com.
Uh-huh.
All right, wonderful. Well, I wish you both the best. I know that your book is hitting the charts on Amazon in terms of erotic writing?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, it got up this morning. It was at number 28 on the erotica charts, and that's across
Excellent.
The country. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I thank you for being my guests, and this isn't the last time we will be speaking.
Yeah.
So thank you. Everybody, please stay tuned when my next guest will be
Tantra Pioneer Jwala.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com. for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Erotic Coast Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate Dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States, and what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends, and I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on this show as well, would love to come and paint your servers, so your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and again, I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And as promised in the last segment of the show, I said I have a very special guest, Jwala, and she is a Tantra pioneer. If you can believe this, she's been teaching Tantra for 37 years.
That's amazing to me. She's an international teacher. She's taught all over the world. And just so you all know, I've known about Jwala since I began studying Tantra. And finally, I had the opportunity to meet her. And actually, she's been staying here for about a month now. So we're doing a show. Yay. Jwala, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
I'm happy to be here.
Me too, to have you. Okay, today we're going to talk about two things we've been doing here. We've been offering together some courses in Phoenix. One has been on yoni massage, and the other has been lingam massage. And those are amazing. Let me just translate for a minute. Yoni means female genitalia or vagina massage. And lingam means male genitalia or penis. So we're going to talk about why we would do vagina massage and penis massage and what those massages entail. So Jwala, before we get into it, let's talk a little bit about how you got into Tantra.
I was in San Diego and I met a man at the beach and he shared with me some spiritual books. And at the end of the conversation, he said, would you like a massage this week? And I said, yes. I actually never had a massage. I was 21 years old and pretty neophyte about everything. So he came a few days later and gave me the most beautiful whole body massage, touched me places I never knew I had, and kissed me on the forehead. And my thought was, who was that guy? And where did he come from? And how did he learn to touch so beautifully? And he took me to his teachers a few weeks later, and that started my lifelong path on Tantra at a very ripe age of 21.
Well, I was so lucky. If I had Tantra when I was 21, I think my life would have turned out a lot differently. I mean, my life is great now, as it turns out, but I think if I had it at 21, there's just a lot of grief. I did more expecting or something, less attached.
I think the attached part is right, because I expected a lot from these lovers that, you know, I just met. They had to go through a massive ritual to be with me, like a 2.5-hour ritual to have sex. But they loved it and I loved it. So I taught many, many people through the years, and I'm grateful to all my teachers.
That's excellent. And Osho was a major teacher and master of yours, yeah?
Yeah, I began teaching in India after he gave me my name Jwala, which means volcanic fire, Prem Jwala, love is Prem. And I thought, wow, I didn't want to give up my name before. It was Theodora, which means God-given, and I just had loved that name. So I was hoping, please don't name me Christ Chaitanya Hari or something like that. But when he said Jwala, tears ran down my cheeks, and it's been such an appropriate Tantra name in this world, because it took a lot of fire to bring these teachings into a anti-sex, anti-pleasure world.
Mm, yeah, it's still kind of like that, but it's opening more and more.
Yeah.
Because of you, because of me, this radio show, and because of all the other people that we've trained, and lots of other people have been trained by others. So it's, the world is opening now to pleasure, finally.
Yeah. Finally. One of my students, Annie Sprinkle, calls herself a pleasure activist. I like that.
That's great. And Annie Sprinkle, yeah, in her own right, is very famous. These massages, mm-hmm, at least the yoni massage we're going to do, was crafted by her, yeah?
Yeah, she and Joseph Kramer from the Erotic Touch. Well, he used to own Body Electric, but he now has this site, Erotic Touch.
Mm. Mm. He's been on the show before, but she hasn't, so mm-hmm, it would be great to have her on. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about this yoni massage and why it is that you're doing it. Like, what made you choose to take on their work and say, I'm going to do yoni massage with people? How did you come to that?
Well, first of all, I was a teacher of it with the Body Electric Massage School in the East Coast for a few sessions. And I believe it was in New York. And then later on, I taught with Joseph at the Sexological Bodywork School that he runs. So what I saw was such an initiation for people who had never been touched other than for someone else's erotic pleasure. So it put the focus on absolutely receiving and not to get to any particular goal, like orgasm. And for a person to go through sexual healing if that was needed, just a waking up of the erotic body without any kind of pressure, and also for the recipient to learn to communicate what they liked and didn't like and how to change the pressure. Because a lot of times when we're making love,
we just accept whatever.
We accept whatever, and we miss the erotic part, because in our body it might be just a tiny bit more of a feather touch that ignites us. And if the partner is directed by us verbally a few times, then they understand what we like. And we always can bring them back to it by saying, I love that you're touching me, and if you go a little softer, I'll feel much more erotic pleasure. So why wouldn't you want to, you know, have the most sensation? So it helps us learn what that is and then to be able to communicate it to someone.
So it actually is done with women receiving. It could be done with women who are same-sex couples.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the woman is for sure the receiver in the yoni massage, because she has the vagina.
Right.
And the vulva.
Yeah. So I've done all women workshops where two women work on one woman and then they trade over, and also couples. And also several places we've done partnered up, and people were willing to receive it from someone they didn't even know.
Yeah, we had that recently this week, and people were so wonderful about it, and they were so non-assuming, and they were so sweet and so willing to take the coaching on how to touch or how to receive, how to relax into the receiving.
Yeah, and until you receive it, you have no idea the possibility of massage strokes that you can have on your yoni, because usually we just get touched on the clitoris. And in this one, you get your inner and outer lips actually massaged, and your clitoral legs that most people don't even know exist. And pinching and pulling on the legs of a clitoris can be extremely pleasurable for certain types of women, as there are many, many types of yonis. They all like different pressures and different strokes.
I also particularly liked the part where you connect. One hand is on the yoni and the other hand is on the heart or on the third eye, so that you're connecting the whole body, strokes on the whole body with the genitals. Most of the time, this is the way I look at it. Kiss on one nipple, kiss on the other nipple, kiss on the clitoris, insert.
Yeah, it's like it's one triangle or two triangles, because if you're making out, that's the upper triangle, and then the nipples to the genitals, the lower triangle. Yeah, and so we don't
are in a hurry to bang, bang, get to the finish.
Yeah, and this gives you a whole nother experience of just feeling parts of your body that you may never have explored. When I first had my perineum touched, I didn't know what it was.
And what is it?
So it's the area between the anus and the genitals, and it's connected to the root chakra, the base chakra. But it actually has quite a sensation if you touch it properly.
To me, what you demonstrated in a couple of sessions that we had here, because we had two and we're probably about to have another one, we had so many people sign up like they were slamming in the doors. And we had women here who had never been touched in this way, who cried a lot during the touch. Some of them had orgasms, some of them didn't. We had men who were so paying attention and so present and so wanting to give and just give and give and give to each one of these women, whether they were their real partner or whether they just met them that evening to be the guy doing it. We had people who opened themselves up to learn something and give and get something that none of them had ever had before, as experienced as some of them were. And some of them were Tantra teachers that came here to work with you. So it was really, it was exquisite.
Yeah, thank you, Joseph and Annie, for realizing that there was hardly any text out there describing it. They experimented together and created it by their experiment. A few strokes come from Ray Stubbs' work, who's also here in, I believe, Tucson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was really incredible. So, in terms of yoni massage, if we were to give somebody a takeaway, obviously they're not in the class. We're sitting here together in my studio, and we're not doing the massage right now. But if we were to give somebody one tip about something that they could just take home and take right to them or their partner right now, what would it be?
If they were to take the massage class? Or?
Well, no, they're not here and they're not taking the massage class. So, I mean, what is a tip that we could give them in their connection?
Oh, in their exploration?
Yeah.
I would just encourage people to have certain times during the week where they're committed to explore something new together, because couples have a tendency to get in what I call a set pattern of leaving their exploration time with each other to the end of the night when they're too tired, and then they just skip it half the time. So it's like, say, for Wednesday afternoon from 4:30 to 6:30 that they have a date, and what it's about is doing something brand new together and exploring some new positions, some new strokes, something that could add to their pleasure and to their connection and to their intimacy.
And with no goal in mind, like they don't have to bring each other to orgasm or to a screaming climax. They could just touch each other in gentle ways and actually communicate back and forth. I like this, I don't like this, this is press me harder, touch me lighter, like that. That'd be great. Well, we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about lingam massage, which is massaging a man's genitals. And I hope all of you will stay right on the edge of your chair until we come back. This is Laurie Handlers. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. And I'm interviewing Jwala. And she really is a wealth of knowledge and information and ways that people can find and receive pleasure in their lives. So stay tuned.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Okay, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers. This part of the show, I'm interviewing Jwala, J-W-A-L-A, and that means volcanic fire. And she is an amazing Tantra teacher, and she's been here in the Phoenix area with me for almost a month, and we together have been offering yoni massage and lingam massage, but Jwala's really been the one teaching it. I've been sometimes the demo person, and sometimes the person who's just orchestrating the logistics. I've learned a lot from her just in a short period of time. So we're going to talk now about lingam massage. And we just described yoni massage a little bit, what it is for a woman to be touched by a partner who isn't looking to necessarily bring her to orgasm or hurry up with her. And we had a little laugh about how I think that people hurry a lot of the time. So now we're talking about lingam massage, and why do we do that? Which is penis, by the way.
I would say that most men have never been touched before in their whole lives like this. You know, the men are usually pretty active, you know, focused on getting the woman turning her on enough so that he can enter her.
Yeah.
So he's like giving until she's wet enough, open enough, you know, making her size. And
hopefully he's giving.
Well, lucky me, I've been with mostly tantric men who have at least that part down.
Some men are just slamming in the doors there.
Yeah. Anyway, so I would say, number one, that a man rarely gets to just lie back and receive. I mean, literally he has nothing to do for the whole massage until the end, which we do a practice called the big draw, where he tightens all of the muscles in his body and then holds his breath. And then when he releases that orgiastic energy that's built up, instead of him, you know, coming, he actually has that energy shoot throughout his whole body after he lets go. And it's that's also a new experience for most of the men.
It's exciting. I watched them. It was very exciting for them.
But sexual healing can come up for men also in the lingam massage. If at any time anyone had hurt them, that could come up for healing. And just also, people discover strokes that they would like to put in their repertoire of foreplay.
Yeah, so, like a sexual stroke vocabulary almost.
Yeah. In other words, if we're doing 12 different strokes, and four of them, they go, this one, I like this one.
Yeah.
Then they can teach that one to their partner or who they're dating and so on. It can be part of the pleasure later on in their dating. Or for couples who come, I have them put a big circle around on their papers, you know, that your partner really likes that particular one.
Mm-hmm. And there were many. Let me just tell people that in both sessions, in the yoni massage and in the lingam massage, there were many different strokes, maybe 10 or 12 different strokes, some of which some of us might have stumbled upon by accident, but also ones that were named specific things. So once we get that into our repertoire, we could say to our partner, do you want this? Do you want me to rock around the clock with you? Or do you want me to twist and shout with you? Mm-hmm. And twist and shout was a good one. The men really seemed to like that one.
Yeah,
a lot.
And the juicer. Yeah.
So there were all these cool moves, and the men were brought almost to, with exception of maybe one, they were mm-hmm. brought almost all to orgasm, all to climax, and none of them did. They just were able to enjoy that juicy electric energy that was running through their bodies
mm-hmm.
when they did the big draw.
Yeah.
And the women enjoyed it too. The women felt like they were, you know, women never know what they're doing in this regard.
Yeah, because...
Who teaches us?
Yeah, and also, when you ask a man, usually, how does that feel? They just go, everything feels good, and they don't distinguish as much as we do. I think women were more specific about what we like and, you know, how to do it, and the men are just...
They're happy for the attention.
They're just happy to get something, and so what I encourage them to do is... also be more specific about what kind of touch. I found that quite a few of the men like softer touch than I would have thought.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I gave erotic massages for a living for a while, and I pick kind of a medium pressure, and then I say, how's the pressure? And if they don't say, change it to harder or softer, then I stay in that medium zone.
Mm.
But actually, by asking my demo this time, it turned out that he wanted it softer than I was doing.
Yeah.
So another thing is, we have to break through thinking that we don't deserve to have it specifically like we like it. There's been an energy on our throat chakras that many people feel they don't have the right to change it. They should just be accepting because, wow, this is happening and I've never had this before, so why am I going to say anything? But it's learning how to say your change with love or your request with love and gentleness, not putting the other person down at all. And most people are willing to change. The ego gets a little hurt in some people when they're asked to change something. So that's why if we can remember to ask for it in a really loving way. I found this little formula. It's called acknowledgement, request, and thanks. So let's say someone's missing my clitoris and it's not quite in the right place. So I can say, I love that you're touching me, and if you were to go an eighth of an inch higher on my clitoris, I'd feel a lot more erotic pleasure. And, you know, they're touching me on the clitoris, so they come up an eighth of an inch. Then when it's like I like it, it's important for me to give them feedback. Yes, there. Oh, that feels really good. Can you stay there for a little while? And then if you want to refine it even more, sometimes I say, now can you flick your finger back and forth, you know, with a 2-inch spread? Because sometimes people are pressing like down on my clitoris, kind of pushing it in, and it actually kind of hurts.
Right.
So if I say, I want you to flick your finger, it's a very different movement than kind of
pushing down,
pushing in or whatever.
So this really, I mean, this, what you're saying actually begs people to reflect on what it is that they like and then be verbal about it, like actually say to their lovers very specific things. Please flick your finger instead of pushing down. That really feels good. The pushing down, not so much. And maybe even have a conversation before they're ever in bed to say, look, I'm going to say some things to you about how I like it, how I like the pressure and whatever. Please don't get uptight about that or take it personally. Like, yeah. None of us learned. So the best thing for us to do is communicate about it so we could learn to make each other feel great.
Yeah, and what if people got is that we each have our own individual erotic map. And every other map is different. Even though we have our primary zones, still we like it differently than maybe the last lover they had. For instance, if you take nipples, the pressure on women's nipples can go from being very, very gentle to almost like tugging on her. And if you just had someone who likes tugging on and the next person is very gentle, it can just
be jarring.
So I recommend people, you know, start out with a medium touch and then just continually invite the partner, you know, how does that feel? Is there any adjustments you want me to make? Because that encourages them, you know, that they have the right to speak and that you want to change it to make it better for them.
That's excellent. That's a great takeaway. Yeah. That's a really, really great takeaway. So, well, let's see. So, you and I may be doing some more of this. We may find a way to do some more of this and bring it to some other parts of the country. I think it's definitely necessary and needed. I love the people who showed up here in Phoenix. So many. We had 3 workshops. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're listening to this and you'd like to find out how you can sponsor a yoni massage workshop and a lingam massage workshop, one, the other, or both, you should write to me right away at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sex and, you spell out the and, A-N-D, happiness@gmail.com, and find out how you can get in touch with me and Jwala to be able to arrange something in your location. We would love to do it. And you, I'm telling you, you don't know what you're missing. People walked out of here like they went to heaven.
They did. Heaven inside their own bodies.
Exactly, right now on Earth. So, Jwala, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Yahoo!
It was great. It's wonderful working with you. And thank you for everything you've done in pioneering Tantra, because this world needs it, even now more than ever. And I just honor you and thank you so much.
And you also, dear. Thank you.
Namaste. Everybody tune in next week when my guests will be scientists, doctors who use art to heal the body, and especially sexual healing. They're amazing. So tune in next time. This is Laurie Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to-